Hey, this is Robert Gibson of the Rock and Roll Express. When I'm around, I listen to the Double Dropkick Show.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. From parts unknown, Heath Mulligan.
And hey, I'm Mark Whip.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. Today, we're going to do some, not fantasy booking. We're going to play a popular game from wrestling Facebook groups.
I remember being a kid, and Marvel Comics had a series of comics, and DC had their series of comics where they would present you with a what if.
Yes.
Heath.
And today, what is going to be the first of many episodes
in a series.
A series. Not a best of seven series, but series nonetheless. What if Kevin Nash and Scott Hall had stayed in WWF in 1996? That's what we want to talk about. And folks, let me tell you, when you think this through, as we have done, this is an event.
Them jumping to WCW, I said it to you, is probably the most significant thing to ever happen in the history of wrestling to get us to where we're at today.
And we're going to walk you through
why that was so important. Because you know what happened. They jumped, formed the NWO. Okay, where you want to start, Heath?
So let's start May. We're in April, May of 1996.
Somewhere along those lines. What you
Scott
have?
Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, their contracts are coming up.
And Scott Hall had informally been talking.
Yeah.
And he had a great agent named Barry Bloom.
Yes.
And he had negotiated a lot of contracts for a lot of guys. And he had a clause put into Scott Hall's contract. They called it the Favored Nations Clause, which said basically, if from this point on, if anybody else comes into our company and we pay them more money than we pay you, then we have to raise your pay scale up to match theirs.
Yeah.
He immediately went to his buddy, Kevin Nash, whose contract was coming up the following week, and said, look, here's what I just did. I was just the IC champion. You were the heavyweight champion. Here's what they gave me. If you come in and sign a contract, they got to raise me up to what they give you.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. And neither one of them wanted to leave.
Right.
Let's be clear about that. They are both on the record saying that they wanted to stay in the WWF, but it was a financial decision for them because they went to Vince and said, they're offering us. And I mean, it was around the $1 million mark.
Yeah.
A year to work half the dates. It was like 150 dates where Vince was offering them significantly less money.
Yeah.
And working 300 days a year.
Yeah.
320 days a year.
Yeah.
So for them, it wasn't a loyalty issue. It was just this is a financial issue. I can depend on this money guaranteed.
Yeah.
I work half the time. They just work in Mondays and pay-per-views for the most part.
Right. Right.
I mean, it makes good business sense what they did.
We talked about in our episode, how Vince gained a wrestling monopoly, that this, he told both Hall and Nash, they're wanting to stay, and he said, guys, this is not how I work.
He said, I will make you more money than they're offering you, but I won't guarantee it. You're going to have to work for it.
I'm going to give you an opportunity.
Right.
I don't guarantee money. I guarantee opportunity.
And here's how stupid, before we get into the what if section of this. Remember Jim Ross coming on TV and saying Diesel and Razor Ramon are coming back?
Yeah.
They parlayed that into an extra $400,000 a piece just to stay. Because at this point, they hadn't signed a firm contract. It was just a kind of a handshake. It was on paper, but they had the opportunity to get out of it.
Yeah.
So when Ross made that announcement, they got called into a meeting and they said, we'll give you $400,000 just extra money right now. just not to go back to WWF because they didn't even look into it. And they both went, okay. And they signed they signed it and got a check a piece for $400,000 and then stood there beside Bischoff at the monitor the next week when they brought out the fake diesel and the fake razor. They were shrewd businessmen. I don't fault them for that.
No, I don't
fault them for being good businessmen.
No, absolutely not. So let's say that contract offer from WCW isn't made, or let's say whatever.
They just turn it down. They're happy with their friends, and
Scott Hall and Kevin Nash re-sign with the WWF.
Yeah.
Wow. What does that do to the landscape of the history of wrestling, Mark?
Well, let's start with what it changes in WCW.
Yeah.
No NWO.
Yeah.
Think about that. No NWO. Would have never happened.
Right.
Maybe they would have still done, because Bischoff's, it wasn't Hall and Nash's idea.
Yeah.
It was Bischoff's idea. But would it have worked?
Right.
If it wasn't guys who were famous in another company making that jump. So if they don't make the jump, maybe it fails. And nobody would have been there to talk Hulk Hogan into turning heel.
Yeah.
So you don't get that Hulk Hogan heel turn.
You don't.
The most shocking moment of the 90s.
Yeah. You don't get the Hulk Hogan heel turn, which led to the tension between Sting and the people and the WCW people, which leads to Sting switching to the Crow persona.
Right. And Scott Hall suggested that persona to Sting.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. Scott Hall said, man, you should, if you're wanting to change up and you're going to do this thing, then maybe you should try to go a little bit darker. And he talked him into doing all that.
Wow. Well, see, so
you don't get, first of all, you just don't get the NWO. You don't get the Hogan heel turn, which means you probably, Hogan starts to fade out a little bit because people were tired of it.
Yeah. So
Hogan was going through and had been not recently like the stuff that John Cena's gone through, and he didn't handle it very well.
Right. Right.
It was getting to him. He was getting booed by everybody because we were growing up and he was still doing the same old thing.
Yeah.
So maybe he goes away.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't see as much of Hulk Hogan because he didn't turn heel and he didn't get hot again. He got tired of getting booed. He goes away and Sting takes his rightful spot back.
Right.
As the franchise of that company. Maybe you see the introduction of Goldberg then. But not Goldberg is the good guy. Goldberg is the bad guy.
Ooh.
Maybe that ignites something. Because you got a guy that Sting can have some good matches with now. And that company may still be in business today.
What, to me, the whole essence of what ignited the Monday Night Wars was you tuned in every week because you didn't know who was jumping ship.
Yeah.
And the reason for that was Hall and Nash.
Right. Because Monday Nitro was tanking in the ratings.
Yeah.
It was.
So
it was not doing well in the ratings, and it probably would have gone off. It wouldn't have, it would have been what TNA is, I think. I really believe that.
So I'm telling you, we're just talking about WCW.
Yeah, we're just getting started.
Yeah.
That's the stuff right on the surface.
Yeah.
Of what we're talking about. Hey, the night that they left WWF at Madison Square Garden, they have the curtain call.
Yes.
And Hall and Nash and Triple H and Shawn Michaels all go into the ring, and it made everybody mad. They broke the kayfabe at the time.
Right.
By going it because they were feuding with one another, and then they went in and hugged in the ring, and they did, and everybody got mad. Well, Hall and Nash left, so you can't punish them.
Yeah,
HBK is the champ. You're not going to punish HBK. Yeah. So who got punished? The new guy, Triple H.
Triple H.
You know how he got punished, Heath?
I do.
Will you tell him?
Triple H is in line 96 to win the King of the Ring. That's correct. His spot.
That's, he had been written in as the guy to win the King of the Ring.
He gets punished, which means, and you know, whatever you think of Triple H, he took his punishment like a man.
He did.
But you know who slides into that spot?
I do.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Who would not have won.
So, and the night of King of the Ring, it is Stone Cold's, it is kind of the start.
It is the moment. It is the genesis of that whole character.
Was it him and pardon my ignorance, was it him and Jake in the finals, or was he, who did he beat in the finals?
Yes, yes.
So you got him and Jake.
See, he had got his mouth busted open, went to the hospital to get sewed up, and as he got out, Michael Hayes said, "Hey, Jake Roberts just cut a religious-themed promo on you."
Yeah.
And it clicked in his head.
And right after he beats him, he quotes, he pulls out Austin 3:16.
Yep.
So what we're saying, you think about, we're...
And that was what it... That, because the next night, you had the signs started. The Austin 3:16 sign. And you still see those signs.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's when it started, was that night. And that would not have happened if Hall and Nash had stayed in WWF.
We're 18 years after all this. 18 years.
Man, that's hard to believe,
isn't Can it? You imagine wrestling without Austin 3:16?
Or the NWO. Or, because if you remember, the NWO was the catalyst for... WWE starting to push the envelope.
Yeah,
because the Attitude Era. They went, the whole Attitude Era started because NWO had been so successful, and Vince knew he had to do something to combat it.
Yeah.
So it got a little bit more risque. It got a little bit more violence, a lot more blood.
Yeah.
A lot more unprotected, not necessarily good stuff.
Right, right, right. And you had Austin, who really just had free reign
to do what he wanted.
Say what he wanted, do what he wanted. Yeah. And that was part of the.
Right. And if he hadn't, if he had just come out and cut regular stunning Steve Austin promos, would it have gotten him over? I contend he still would have been a big star.
Yeah.
But I don't think he would have transcended and got to that level where only four or five people exist.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So there's that.
So one of the things that happened, and I don't want to jump ahead, but it goes a little bit to what you're talking about, Stone Cold. Because of the whole contract situation, they lose Hall and Nash. They really make a bad decision with a contract they give Bret Hart.
Yeah.
They give him...
Signed him. I mean, I think like it was like a 10, 20-year contract. Might have been 20 years.
I think it was 20 years, $20 million. Dollars,
yeah. And they couldn't afford it.
They couldn't afford it.
It was more money than they could afford to pay.
So, because of that, they end up having to let Bret Hart go, which leads to Montreal Screwjob, which leads to Vince's character.
The forming of the Mr. McMahon character.
And that is the
that
character...
That feuded with Austin.
So, I mean, it is just one thing right after. I mean, we are talking about two guys, Hall and Nash.
Changed a business.
Changed. You think about the historic moments of the last 18 years that would not have happened.
It's hard to fathom.
I'm sitting here and I'm trying. Because we didn't do any prep.
Talking. We didn't.
We're going through, trying to go through the timeline.
Yeah, we just scratched the surface. Like when we said, hey, let's do this show because there wouldn't have been an NWO or an Austin 3:16. That's about as far as we went with it.
Yeah.
Another thing, though, Heath.
Yeah.
That I thought about. WrestleMania 12, Kevin Nash and The Undertaker faced one another. Now, if Nash had been staying.
Yeah.
If my understanding.
Yes.
Is. That had he stayed, the intention was that he would have beaten Undertaker to stay the champion.
Mm-hmm.
So there wouldn't have been a streak.
Right.
No streak. Only four or five years into the streak. At that point, nobody was even calling it the streak.
Right.
It wasn't a thing. It was never brought up. Nobody's ever beat Undertaker at WrestleMania. Nobody ever discussed it.
Yeah.
Nash would have beat him. There would have been no streak. WrestleMania 30, you wouldn't have had that great moment. That's probably going to make Cesaro.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately is or it's going to make Cesaro Roman or Roman Reigns.
Right.
When they beat Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
One of those two guys, that's who I predict.
That's what I'm hoping for.
So here we are. That was WrestleMania 12. We're at WrestleMania 30. We just had 30. We're talking about WrestleMania 31 impacted
by
Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
Jumping to WCW.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, if I seem like, well, I'm literally, I can't put my thoughts into words. Like, because everything we know would not everything be so.
Changes. Yeah, everything changes.
Because we're not talking about mid-level. We're talking about everything changes from the top.
From the top of the card. Yeah. I tell you this. Let's say Nash does beat Undertaker. So Nash is now the champion. So as we go into the following year, Shawn Michaels fought Undertaker at Royal Rumble. And he breaks his... I don't know if he broke his back. I'm not sure what the injury was because it's a real awkward looking landing he takes on the corner. Why?
Yeah.
They had a casket match.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had a casket match
with
Kevin Nash.
Yeah.
So he probably wouldn't have gotten hurt and he wouldn't have missed or he wouldn't have been out for the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Right.
Now, with that being said, Shawn Michaels got away from the business.
Yeah.
He got away from all the bad influence. He found God. He got married. He had kids. He turned his life around. Maybe Kevin Nash and Scott Hall leaving were the best thing for Shawn Michaels. Because he changed his life. And maybe if he had hung around and they'd have stayed there and he'd have kept popping those pills. There were people in the business that were concerned that Shawn Michaels wasn't going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm telling you the truth. I mean, they were worried he's going to be dead before he's 40.
Yeah,
but now he's a legend and an icon.
Yeah, and Shawn Michaels working. You said it. Once he came back, pretty much every match was 5-star.
Yeah,
I mean, because
he didn't have many bad matches after he come back. Because I think his head was right.
Yeah,
his head was clear. He could focus on just doing a good job in the ring.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of it. And it's amazing, you know. You're talking about May 96 is the curtain call. October or November of 97 is Montreal screw job. You're talking like 14 or 15 months in history that still, we are still
feeling the shock waves,
right?
Of all of that stuff that happened. I mean, you think, and this is far fetched, but when you're doing what if
you can go for it, yeah.
Because of the NWO, we talked about it a while ago, Vince had to up the aggression level, the attitude.
Oh.
There was a character that came about to combat that, which was the Blue Blazer.
Mm.
There was a whole deal with the Blue Blazer. That was the point of his gimmick. He was a heel because he's coming out amidst all of that and saying, no, truth, justice in the American way.
Yeah.
Take your, you know, say your, and maybe Owen Hart doesn't reintroduce that character. So he never gets up on the rafters. Maybe Owen Hart's still with us.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to exploit his death for our podcast.
Right.
I'm just throwing out Bret Hart would have been there.
Yeah.
And he might would have said, look, he's not comfortable doing it. He's not going to do it.
Yeah. It's just crazy to me to think. I mean, because I've never sat and.
I hadn't either.
It's crazy because you think about boom, 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 all these things that just fall into line. Because, and something like this, we're talking about 96, so we're talking post-territory days.
Right.
But this kind of stuff didn't happen. In the territory days, it was expected you were going to bounce around.
Everybody moved around back then. Everybody, but there was no guarantees of anything. And when you left, it was also a guarantee that you were coming back.
Yeah.
They moved around because, I'll use Rusev.
Mm-hmm.
You build him up. He works his way through the card. Boom. Bruiser Brody and Bruno Sammartino may be a better comparison. Mm-hmm. Well, Bruiser Brody came into WWF.
Mm-hmm.
He runs through the card, works his way up till he challenges Bruno. They have a series of matches, and then Brody leaves.
Yeah.
Okay. If you did good against Bruno and you drew money, they'd let you be gone a year or two, then they bring you back, and you do it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because now people hadn't seen it in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So it's not something that they're getting every week. Oh man, Brody's back. I like that. Or whoever the monster heel was is back. Stan Hansen, whoever it might have been.
And again, back to those days, wrestling was still regional.
Right.
So if you're living in the South, you have no idea who Bruno Sammartino, or you have no idea he's wrestling Bruiser Brody.
Right.
And if you're not going to those live events, you're probably not seeing it on television.
Nah.
I mean, back then it was all about they put on a wrestling show on television to get you to go to the live event.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas now, The live events are just...
They put on a television show, so you'll watch the television show, and they can get sponsorship money.
Right, and if you go to the live event, that's great.
But you're not missing anything.
Right, right.
You know.
It's just changed so much, and I'm not lamenting that it's, you know, we did an episode. Has sports and entertainment ruined wrestling? We got an episode coming up. Has sports and entertainment saved wrestling? And so we'll talk about some of that. What one other thing, Mark? Just off the top of your head, I mean, so when these guys leave, HBK's the champ. Well, if those guys stay,
that's who he's working with.
Yeah, I mean, is he? Does Hall get a shot at the title?
I think so.
I'm
sure he would have because he was on that level there. He just hadn't gotten to that point yet.
Does this mean that WrestleMania 13, we don't get Bret Hart and Steve Austin?
Maybe we still do get Bret Hart. There again, you don't get that Austin 316 promo, but I think you still get Hart and Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I'll tell you why. It's because Bret Hart chose Steve Austin
right
to be the guy that when he came back and the 316 stuff had not started anyway.
Yeah.
So he chose Austin. But you know, a lot of that was born out of HBK leaving.
Yeah.
That match happened because I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels left cause he didn't want to put Bret Hart over, which gave us that. So maybe you're right. Maybe instead of going against Bret Hart, he would have been going against Scott Hall.
Yeah.
So who knows? See, that one's a tough. I still think in that scenario, you get Austin versus Hart. We're chasing a rabbit there, but
no,
I think
the whole show is chasing.
Yeah, that's true.
So if Bischoff.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about how this affects WCW.
I mean, Bischoff, he signed Hogan. That was his big thing.
And it failed.
Yeah, because Hogan comes in.
They can spin it however they want to, but it failed.
Hogan squashes Flair.
Yeah.
And then it's back to the Dungeon of Doom and Hogan. Oh, my dear. Yeah. Some of those vignettes are awful.
Yeah,
so if Bischoff, the fact that Bischoff, I mean, he has to sell the farm to get Hall and Nash.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen.
Then who wants to go there because they never get hot?
Right. Yeah. But they're like, man, if Hall and Nash, they're top guys, they're going there. You get to work half the day.
Money. Right.
To me, it created the atmosphere that killed WCW.
Exactly.
Top guys getting top money for half the work.
For half the work, and it doesn't matter. They're not getting paid based on their performance anymore.
Right.
You know, up until that point, if you weren't helping draw the money, you didn't get the money. So there was it forced you to have to perform at a higher level to entertain people. But if you said, if where I work at said, look, man, we're going to give you twice the money that you're getting now.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't even have to work half the time.
Oh, heck yeah.
Wouldn't you do it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't? You'd be crazy not to.
Eventually, what really kind of was that final nail in WCW's coffin was the sale, the AOL Time Warner merger.
Right, right.
And they wanted nothing to do with wrestling. And I don't And I don't think that any of these events would have affected that merger.
No, I think that probably would have still happened.
So eventually, I think.
The only difference being, when that happened, the reason, Bischoff was going to buy.
Yeah.
They had actually already taken out advertisements for the first pay-per-view.
Right.
Under the new WCW banner. They had changed the logo. I forget the name of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
But they were already advertising it. He did an interview in a magazine where he talked about how they were going to be doing this and they were going to be doing that. And then Time Warner said, you don't get the TV deal.
Yeah.
You can have the company, but we're not going to give you anywhere to show it. And the people that he had lined up to help him invest said, without a TV channel to show it on, we don't want to be involved, not thinking we can just put these things on DVD.
Yeah.
Because I guess there wasn't DVDs much at the time. Nobody knew that was going to be such a big market for.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
so Vince walked in and bought it for pennies on the
dollar.
Pennies
on the dollar. And that was the thing. I think if at that point WCW was losing a ton. That was with Hall and Nash going to WCW.
Right. And they helped get them afloat and keep them afloat for a few years.
That 5 or 6 years later, they're losing tens of millions of dollars a month. They're not an attractive. I guarantee you this, that with the AOL Time Warner merger, if WCW is making money, they're not just going to cast them off.
No.
Like
that. If they were making $1 million a year, even, why would you get rid of it?
Right.
You're bringing us in $1 million a year.
Yeah. But
leaking like a sieve or just breaking even is not going to do it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to make some money. Or even they might have said, look, well, there's enough revenue there that we can make money with you being on the air, but we don't want to be involved in the day-to-day running of the program, so we'll sell it to you, but we'll let you keep the time slot.
Right, right. Well, there was no, like, as I look back, I don't know, in 1996, what WCW could have done to make it compelling television that did not include Hall and Nash.
I agree. Yeah, nothing. I loved Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I was a Hulkamaniac. But at that point, it was time for him to step aside.
Right.
And somebody needed to man up and tell him it was time for him to step aside.
Yeah.
But when Hall and Nash came in, he turned heel and it gave him another couple of years to run on top as a heel. And it worked.
Yeah. Here's the thing is.
And he embraced being a heel.
Oh, yeah.
Better than, I mean, he was good.
Yeah.
He was good at
it. The, the thing that we have talked about a lot of times before is the timeline of it. And when Hall and Nash go, 5 years later, WCW is done.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I think either way.
Yeah.
At least that version of it. I don't think Vince McMahon would own it today.
I don't know what it looks like.
Maybe it just looks like TNA.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, and that's okay. You know, it would be okay if they did.
We just want something different.
Right. We just want something different.
Yeah, that's all. That's
I want an alternative to what I'm being presented.
I'm telling you, like, we're talking about some of the biggest stars in wrestling history not being as big. I mean, we've talked about our Mount Rushmore. Is Austin on that Mount Rushmore?
No, I don't think so. I think he would have still had to feud with Bret Hart. Because I don't see where that would have been affected by much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, because Hart went to him and said, I'm going to work with this guy when I come back after he lost to Shawn Michaels. But it would change the main event scene in WWF.
Yeah.
If HBK's champ, he's swapping back and forth with Hall. He's swapping back and forth with Nash.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's room for Hart there. Yeah. I don't know that there's room for Austin there.
Yeah.
Can't have more than you can only have one top guy.
I mean, does Triple H still get the title runs he got? Does Mankind? Does The Rock?
Yeah, we hadn't even talked about Rock and Mankind. Triple H, yes, clearly, because he was in their group.
Right.
So clearly he's going to be groomed for a world title slot. But Foley, he's out.
Yeah.
Foley came about out of necessity. Rock was out of necessity.
Yeah,
I think they would have tried with Rock like that when he was Rocky Maivia. It would have failed and he'd have gone away.
Yeah. And here, you know, I think you look back, hindsight's 2020. You look back 18 years. Here's the facts, okay? The fact is, 18 years later, Triple H is on Raw every Monday. He's married to the daughter's owner. He is the heir apparent. Worked out pretty good for him.
Yeah, it worked out good for him.
Shawn Michaels. They can call him anytime. He will be there. He's done some of their pre-shows. He's right there. Scott Hall just went into the Hall of Fame as Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
You don't see him on weekly television.
Nah, and you probably won't.
Same thing with Kevin Nash.
He shows up once or twice a year.
And I think as you're looking back, and maybe that's Vince's way of repaying loyalty.
Yeah.
But you got two guys that stayed. And had their ups and downs in the last 18 years, obviously.
But two guys that left and tried to put him out of business. I think they're lucky they're in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Or Hall's lucky he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's lucky to be alive.
I heard a story one time that that Kevin Nash, when they came back after the NWA.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock, just speaking of The Rock, that he was a big star. And Kevin Nash, for those that don't know, is pretty well regarded as being a pretty tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he can throw down.
Yeah.
People have seen him do it, and he's pretty tough. And that in the dressing room, The Rock said, "All right, what one move do you want to get in during their match?" And he made him mad. And apparently the word is he looked at Rock and said, "I'll get as many moves in as I want to. You're the one that needs to be asking me what I'm going to let you do. If you want it to turn into a shoot out there, it can." And that calmed the whole, The Rock was like, "Oh, okay, well, we can do it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll get as many moves as I want to in if you don't like it." You know?
Yeah. That's why I found it hard to believe, recently, the whole Piper.
Yeah.
I've seen Roddy Piper walk.
Yeah, he ain't beating Kevin Nash up. I'm sorry. He's delusional. I mean, I get that it's his show and he's and I love Roddy Piper, but there's way.
So, is there anything, as we wrap this up, anything that you can think off the top of your head that we're leaving? I mean, we haven't talked about, how does this affect Lex Luger? I tell you what, without the NWO, Buff Bagwell doesn't have his 6 seconds.
Right. Scott Steiner.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't turn and join him. And, he doesn't dye his goatee blonde like Superstar.
Big Papa Pump never comes. Big
Papa Pump doesn't happen.
Wow.
And you get the Steiner Brothers tag team going on. There's a lot of things that happen. People that jumped and joined the Giant.
Yeah.
Big Show. Maybe he doesn't go to WWE.
Maybe Russo.
Maybe
never goes to WCW.
Chris Jericho jumped because he couldn't get ahead. Maybe without those guys there to hold him back, Chris Jericho gets ahead in WCW. Maybe all the Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, all those guys.
Wow.
Maybe I don't know about Benoit because of him and Sullivan, but that was some of their problems with Sullivan.
So let's take a few minutes and do this. Let's say you're Eric Bischoff and you get the call, 1996, Hall and Nash say, "Hey, we're not coming." And you're Eric Bischoff, and your top draw, Hulk Hogan, kind of fading. What if Eric Bischoff says, "You know what? We're going to get away from the characters, and we've got these luchadors, we've got these cruiserweights, and we're going to go a 180.
And just wrestle.
And we're going to wrestle. We're going to forget the backstage vignettes. Right. We're going to forget all the fluff, and we're just going to let guys go and really, you're still going to have your Sting."
Right, you still have your top stories.
Right. But and really, instead of having Hall and Nash, maybe holding guys.
Hey, speaking of Savage, I'll throw this one out there.
Yeah.
Savage joins the NWO.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't have happened. And Diamond Dallas Page became hot because they tried to get him to join. He shook hands with Hall and then pulled him into a diamond cutter. And then him and Savage, would that have happened?
Hmm.
Would DDP have DDP yoga today?
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't have the same name. Because
he got the rub from
them. Right, he got the rub from them.
Yeah.
Because he got over on them. And then he had the matches with Savage. Those wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Man.
It's crazy when you start thinking about those two guys, how influential they were on the wrestling.
You don't have the NWO in the War Games match with Kurt Hennig turning. They don't bury the Horsemen, literally and figuratively.
You don't get that great Ric Flair promo from Greenville because there's no reason to do that to Flair because he's still a valuable commodity. You don't get that promo where they trashed Arn Anderson.
Oh my goodness. That's a whole show right there.
Yeah.
On that.
But they did get the cooler out of Arn's truck. You were right about that. I think you mentioned that when we talked about it. Maybe it was just us and off the air.
I heard Kevin Nash say that. It's like,
that was Arn's cooler. And apparently Arn was okay with it until he talked to his wife.
Right.
then he got mad.
His family was not okay with it.
Yeah, they were not happy.
So anyway, this is the first of many.
And I got one I'll suggest we do next time.
Okay.
We'll have a little time to think about it. Most people don't know this. Starrcade 83.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Race was offered money to no-show Starrcade 83 and bring the belt to the WWF and feud with Hulk Hogan. Did you know that?
I think you had mentioned to me before, but I had not dug the dirt on that.
That's going to be our next show.
I would
Next in the series of what ifs. What if Harley Race had gone to WWF with the NWA title?
What if the Iron Sheik had broken Hulk Hogan's leg?
There's another one. And taking the title to the AWA. So we got two shows lined up.
Hey, it's logical. I love it. So
that's Heath's new catchphrase.
Anyway, we are the Double Dropkick Show. We've done our best to answer this what if question. What if Hall and Nash had stayed in the WWF?
And hey, maybe we didn't think of something.
Right.
You know, hook us up. Facebook,
because we didn't do a whole lot of Googling.
No, we didn't search it. We just sat here and talked about this right off the cuff, and it probably sounds like that a couple of times.
That's all right.
You know, where we stammered and trying to think of things, but man, that's what
this show is all about. We are not.
This is what we talk about at lunch.
That's right.
This is literally what we sit and talk about at lunch.
And today's lunch brought to you by Taco Bell and the Chilito, a.k.a. Chili Cheese Burrito.
And hey, man, I got to tell you, those new cinnamon bites that they got, daddy. I mean, I got a little 4-pack of those things. I popped that first. Oh, if you don't know what I'm talking about, they take the icing that they put on top of cinnamon rolls.
It ain't even legal what they do.
It ought not be. And they wrap cinnamon dough around dough around it, deep fry that, and then roll it around in cinnamon and sugar. I mean, golly. That thing was good, boy. And poor Heath, I was eating them in front of him, and he's like, man, you know, you could have got me one of those.
If Vince had thrown those into Hall and Nash, they'd have stayed.
You're right.
That would have been the
He'd have said, look, I'm not going to give you this extra money, but I'll give you a 4-pack of these.
So go to our website, doubledropkick.com. Leave us a comment. Tell us, what did we leave off? You can go to our Facebook page, The Double Dropkick Show. Again, tell us what you think. What, you know, are we absolutely off our rocker? Would all this stuff had happened? Would somebody else have started the NWO? That you can talk to Mark on Twitter at the DDK Show. I'm at Heath Mulliken. We want to interact with you. We want to see you post those hashtags, Snot Bubble Wrestling. That's what we want to see. And if you go to our website, okay? We don't ask a lot. Not asking you to buy anything. Asking them to do?
All we're asking you to do, click on that banner while you're there.
Click on the banner. So, listen, it's every Monday, the Double Dropkick Show. You can download and listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to us on our website. You got an Android phone? We love you, too. Stitcher app. That's all we ask you to do.
What time again, Heath?
9 o'clock Monday morning. Right. 9 a.m. You got all week to
That's
listen
right.
to. Hey, you got to drive. You driving home from work? I'm gonna tell you what I do. Some people say, "Man, that's an hour long show." Sometimes I ain't got an hour.
I ain't got time to listen to that.
I go into my podcast app and I speed it up 1.5.
Do you really?
We talk slow enough. You can listen to it half the time. Get all the stuff.
Plus,
let me tell you, if you've never listened to my voice at 1.5 speed or double speed, let me tell you, it is where it's. I sound like a chipmunk. I sound like Dave Grohl all the time.
You know, I started playing things by accident like that. I was like, "What in the world is going on?" Figured it out.
I listen to all my podcasts like that, and
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Dude,
for me, it's more of a time thing. But
I got time. I'm on Hall and Nash's schedule. I just work half the year. that's a shoot, man.
I'm wrestling 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
I mean, I have to work every other weekend. I don't get every weekend off. But you know what? I work 6 months out of the year, and I'm proud of it.
So listen, hey,
and don't act like you ain't just working an hour on Sunday morning over there.
30 minutes. So anyway, it is, as always, thanks for listening. The Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
Look, what are you doing?
Watch him. You see what he's doing there? You see what he's doing? Take him. He's going to take his fist.